Hey, how do we guard our hearts?
I want to talk about this today because Scripture says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23. If you really think about it, it's your character, the things you do show your heart. Everything about you can be said by what you're doing out here. We can look at your heart and say, this is the heart of X, Y, Z. Why? Because your heart determines where you go. If then that is so important, how should we protect it? Because your heart can get polluted by just life. How do you make sure that you're protecting your heart so that you're going in the right direction? And I say that because I don't think we take time to understand that we need to protect our spiritual heart. We need to fight for it so that we can stay the course and be directed by God and not by what's happening to us. If we don't do that, we open ourselves to anything to influence who we are and what we're supposed to be. So how do we guard our hearts? That becomes a big question. How do we make sure that our heart is being guarded? Let's start here. Start by praying. Start praying about it. This is Psalm 51, 10 to 12. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. At this point, David had committed two sins. One, he had planned out to make sure that the husband of Bathsheba was killed. And second, that he had been immoral with Bathsheba. So, having gone through that sin, he's able to come back to God and says, you know what? Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Even though he had been in sin, he's able to go back to God and say, God, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Sometimes your heart is so gone, you need for God to create in you or renew a steadfast spirit within you. Because it's gone. If you don't pray about it, God cannot create that heart within you. You're just gone, dead. You don't feel alive spiritually. What you need is to start praying about it. You can't just change that overnight by saying, I'm backed with God. No, you have to start praying about your heart and say, God, help me to come back, renew me again, and be connected to you. So, restore to me the joy of salvation. Sometimes you've lost all salvation, all joy. Even though you're saved, you're not happy at all about your salvation. It's just gone. It says what? Restore to me the joy of salvation. He's praying about these things. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That help me to submit to what you want me to do. You see, if we don't pray about our hearts, when they are gone, we cannot come back. Sometimes people feel like, man, I'm just tired. I'm frustrated. I don't know even where God is. Start praying about your place with God and start reconnecting with God. When you're gone like that, the place to start with is prayer. Really pray about where you sit with your heart and you see that God will revive you. You know, we want a revived heart without prayer. It doesn't work like that. We've got to pray about what God wants to do in our hearts. Because when you pray, clarity begins to hit you. When you pray, you begin to see how far you've walked away from God. And when you pray, you see the value of what you need to do, what you need to do to get back with God. If you're not praying, you just think it. Thinking it will not get you back to God. You have to pray and ask God to bring you back to a place of revival. And most of the time we're not doing that, so we are stuck. We come and hear the word of God, but because we will not pray for ourselves, nothing happens. And we get more frustrated. And we feel like, where is God? God is asking you to pray. This is, if David can get restored from this corner, I don't know what your sins are, but this is pretty heavy. This is pretty heavy. And God is going to restore that. We're talking murder. We're talking immorality. We're talking a king. I mean, God is going to walk with that. You follow that? So if God can restore that, surely we can get restored. So my point to this is, are you praying? That's the question I want to ask you. Are you praying? Not microwave prayers. Are you praying? Not your 2-minute prayer and jump in the car. Or jump in the car and start praying and then something happens and you stop praying. Are you praying? How's that going? Are we creating time for prayer? Because if it's not happening, revival is not happening within us. Are we praying about, are we confessing sins in our prayer? Are we thanking God in our prayers? Are we telling God these things? Are we really engaged in prayer? That's where we've got to get going. And I think that it's a simple thing, but very powerful tool to transform our lives. Amen? Secondly, understand why you need God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately seek. I use that purposely. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is Jeremiah talking to a very difficult people. And he's saying, you know what? The heart is deceitful. Desperately seek. It'll be tested. So understand why you need God. You cannot rely on your heart. You need God. I've had people give up on God and simply go on instinct. I'll go with my gut feeling. Really? What happened to God? I'm just going with my gut feeling. No, you've got to go with God. Because your gut feeling is influenced with different things. You've got to ask yourself, how far are you when it comes to just understanding why you need God? You know, let me make this very clear. Relying on God is challenging because you have to wait for Him to walk. So the real reason we don't like to go with God is because it puts us in control. And we can do what we want to do anywhere, anytime. But the problem with that is we don't understand that our hearts are deceitful. It can rationalize to do anything. Your heart can convince you to do anything and it will rationalize anyway, anyhow. It will show you why you need to do so. But you need to go back to God. In fact, there's scientific evidence to see that you can really rationalize to do anything. You really can rationalize to do anything. But with God, He'll hold you back and guide you in the right direction. You see, it takes a lot of humility to say, I cannot depend on my heart. It takes a lot of humility. It also takes trust in God 100% that I will go to God. Irrespective of how long you've been around. Because we tend to go with experience. We don't go to God. And that is what we need to learn to do. Go to God and you will see that He will lead you in a way that is truthful, and you'll overcome most of your challenges. Thirdly, meditation keeps us spiritual. Let's talk through this a little bit. Joshua chapter 1, 6 to 9. This is after Moses has died and Joshua's taken over. The Bible says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I sold to their ancestor I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Now here's where it gets serious. Study this book of instructions continually, the Word of God, in other words. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Let me stay in verse 8. Over there. Meditate on it day and night. Do you realize you cannot download spirituality? You can't. You cannot download spirituality. As in you plug it and you plug yourself in the Bible and somehow you download it and all of a sudden I'm spiritual because I read my Bible for 1 hour. It doesn't work like that. You've got to get in the meditation zone. You cannot download spirituality. The idea that somehow I'm spiritual today because I was in the Word a lot. Oh no, you can read and forget the moment you leave. How much of meditation is taking place though? That is the question. You cannot download spirituality. And many of us have this illusion that because I read the Bible, I must be spiritual. No. It takes meditation. That's what is being told, that, you know, if you're going to succeed, he was going to go to war, there will be battle. We think that because I'm a Christian, somehow this is just going to be easy. No. You need to deepen yourself through meditation. It's possible that you don't feel deep at all spiritually because you're not, meditation is nothing you do. I mean, let's face it. If I asked you today, when is the last time you sat quietly and meditated through the Word of God, contemplative meditation, just asking, what does this mean? What was this meant? How does that affect me? And going back and forth with that word to a point where you begin to feel change taking place in your heart. When is the last time you did something like that? I know we read the Bible, but we meditate. That's the question that we need to begin to ask ourselves, because that's where spirituality gets stagnated. You read and read and read, but you're not meditating enough to allow it to have an effect on your heart. So you're trying to run the download, trying to download spirituality. It does not work like that. It's meditation that walks through you, and then you begin to be transformed, and you begin to succeed in what you're doing. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. A lot comes our way and we can become discouraged, afraid. Those two things are very common with Christians. This morning, maybe you are afraid of something. Or you're discouraged. Meditate on the word and you'll see it says, stay with it. You'll be successful. I say this because I think that as simple as these things are, and you've done them before, you move away from them, and you think that somehow, because I did this, I don't need to do that anymore. I need to go continue and just do my life a different way. And somehow I've committed to God. I don't need to stay with it anymore. I just need to move on. That's like saying, I don't need my legs for my last 40 years anymore because I've been walking for 40 years. I don't need my legs anymore. Somehow just walk. Just take them away. Do you think that's a wise thing to do? But we cut our legs. We walk away from meditation. We walk away from prayer. We walk away from these things and we cut away our legs. And we do it gradually. For some of us, it's just, I'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never happens. And then we create a culture that is devoid of these basic truths of knowing God. So we have a culture of just going through life and coming to church on Wednesday and Sunday and short prayers, and then maybe pray before you eat. And even that, we pray on the move. God bless this food, and we're eating. Beyond that, nothing else happens. And a culture forms. A culture of being with God but without God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And that culture begins to form and the frustration increases. And we lack the energy, the ability to make decisions. Everything disappears. Why? Because we lack that walk with God. And that's what we need to get down. Meditation keeps us spiritual. You cannot download that. You have to meditate and get on with it. And so, if you're too busy to do this, surely there's something wrong with your schedule. You need to get this down. Something's terribly wrong with your schedule if you're too busy. If you're too busy to get this, that's like a driver saying, I'm too busy to get gas. You're going to run out of gas on 85. You got to stop and get some gas before you run out of it on 85. You can't be too busy trying to get somewhere. Stop and get the gas. The other day I was driving around and I was getting, I said, okay, I'll get the gas later. Oh my goodness, I ran into traffic. Now my light is going up and I'm looking at my gauge is going past E. Enough is not going to be there. Empty is what's going to be. And I said, why did I not stop? But, you know, God was gracious and I found another gas station and got the gas there. But I think many of us are living that life. All is saying, we will stop sometime, and then the next thing, you're on the roadside and you're calling for help. We may come with some gas and help you out, but $5 gas is not good. It's going to mess your tank. You're going to get full tank all the time. Amen? It's simple, very simple. Seek God. Just seek God. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is 7 years in when the Babylons are going to be there, 7 years, then they come back and he says, after you come out of exile, you will seek and find me if you seek me with all your heart. So, I don't know what your exile is, but you may be in exile somewhere with God. And you're having challenges just finding God in that place. Whatever is going on in that area of your life, you just have a hard time seeing God in that place. The Bible says that you will seek and find me if you seek me with all your heart. What's your exile? Everybody has some exile story. Maybe it's job-related, school-related, family-related, life-related. It's marriage-related, money-related. It's just, it's not just working well. You will seek God. But if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. You know, when you're in these exile places, you don't want to seek God. I have come across, I had a friend, he was called John Kalume. He was a refugee from DR Congo, and it was a tough time for him. I met him, we talked a lot and all that. With no time, he ran out of money. And I said, wow, this is what it means to be in exile? And he was trying to make money playing music and all that stuff. Before I knew it, I think at some point, we said, you can come and have tea and food dinners in our house if whenever you're cut out. And I think they started coming a certain time. But for some reason, they liked the sugar. I mean, they would. We had to buy more sugar than usual because for some reason, the sugar was just, they were wiping that out. Like, okay, they like the sugar. But to see them out of food totally and to see that I had to open a house. And for me, I said, what if it was me? I didn't have anything. What do you do? They came and took that meal. It was once a week. I don't know what they did the rest of the week. Maybe they were just being polite because they didn't want to come every day. But they came and left. And the point I'm trying to say is this, is that when you're in that place, they were seeking God. They prayed like nobody's business. And sure enough, a few years later, they went to Canada. Never tried to find out where they are, but I was so happy for them. You'd have thought it was my kid. My point is that they sought God so much. Now, they were committed to God, as in disciple to disciple, but they were really committed to finding God's will in that direction. And my point to you is that when you're in exile, you don't play. There's no place to go back. You have to go to God. What is your exile story? What is your exile story? There's something you have an exile in, but you don't go to God wholeheartedly. You give excuses about it. You need to go to God with that stuff. Give it 100% and you'll see what happens. God will turn that around. Just seek God. Simple. Fasting softens your heart. Joel 2:12-13. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now, while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent, not to punish. This is Joel talking to the people there. It says, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping and mourning. You know, he wasn't telling them how it was going to be easy. He says, now when it's all challenging, turn to me now. Give the heart. Remember we started with saying, protect your heart, guard your heart. It says, turn to me now while there's time. Give me your heart. Come with fasting and weeping and mourning. Why is fasting important? And I've talked to this a little bit, but I want to state again. It softens your heart. If you remember the story of Jesus, when he was tempted for 40 days, and then the devil came tempting him, he had been fasting for 40 days. Then he came back, and when the devil was tempting him, he could quote scripture saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, it says. He was able to stand why he'd come from a fasting place. So I ask this question again. You may not fast food, but you can fast other things. Yeah, you can fast sweets. You can fast TV. Yeah, you can fast news. It may help you to calm down with some of the issues that are going on. Yeah, you really need to think about it. There's things you need to fast off with. Would you survive? Would you survive if you fasted off sweets? Now you're looking at me with tribulation. Like, what is he talking about? I'm talking about fasting. Something that softens your heart. Really, this is what he was being told. Say, you come to me. It's hard sometimes to turn to God if you're not fasting. Even though he's there. You will not turn to him because you're so angry at that moment in time. You will not turn to God. You'll just keep going with your life. You need to learn to fast to turn to God. You know, I have some ideas here. Choose a day in a week that you fast. That's a good thing. It's a good habit. Yeah, really. Choose a day. You think that's doable? Nobody wants to talk about fasting now. Choose a day and fast, amen. I'm not going to say which day. Just think about it. Choose a day and fast and see what it'll do to your heart. You can do a 24-hour. You can do 12-hour. Okay? But check with your doctor. If you're not supposed to fast, you know what? There are other things you can do. Does that make sense? So I want to be very clear about that. So nobody goes and does something and says the preacher said it and didn't check with the doctor. It's important to check with the doctor. So 13 says, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but to tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate. God is willing to listen to us. He's merciful and compassionate. So let's not pull up the guilt and the shame and not come back. He says, I'm ready to listen, but bring your heart to him. It's the heart that God moves with, not just our activities. We tend to do a lot of activity and think that that's what counts. No, it's your heart that counts. There's place for activity, don't get me wrong, but the heart drives everything. Gratitude helps us experience God. How so? Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You hear that? Do you hear that? That it's God's what? For you who belong to Christ Jesus. So say, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you to be in Christ Jesus. When I'm really angry sometimes, I'm like, what's all this? One thing that helps me to calm down is to be grateful. When I'm grateful, I begin to experience God very quickly. I am thankful for what God is doing. You know, you may be going through some things. You need to ask yourself, what can you be grateful for? Maybe things have not lined up for you, but what can you be grateful for? Just that simple act. You experience God like nobody's business. And so, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Don't scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is said. Hold to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. I'll go right back there in 18. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Anytime you are grateful, it helps you to experience God. Anytime you focus on that one thing that you do not have, you go into dark places. It works. It's funny, you can have everything, but one little thing that you don't have, you keep focusing on that thing, you'll go to a dark place. You can be in a lovely restaurant, but you can focus on one smudge and you'll hate the whole meal for that small thing. You can have an amazing haircut, but one small thing can make you feel like, well, it was done badly. Or you can have great hair, but one place that's not uneven makes you feel like it's not good. Gratitude changes everything. Think about what God has done for you already. That changes everything. The truth be told is that many people live in the world of dissatisfaction. If I told you to write me a 10 things that you need right now, it'll be so easy, right? Just 10 things you write. Oh yeah, I got 10 things already. If I told you in the same speed, write 10 things that you're so grateful about, you start saying, I think, scratching your head, maybe. It'll be a job to get there. But what you need, you jump on it like this. Be grateful. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If you're not grateful, you're going to be miserable. Life doesn't need to be perfect. You need to see what God is doing, even with all the issues. And you'll find that you'll be very grateful. In finishing, love God. Just love God. Nothing else, just love God here. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. So he goes through everybody, fathers and all those people. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Here's something that you need to look at. It says this. If you love the world, you cannot love God. What is he describing though? The lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life. Everything that we tend to run to say I've accomplished is what it's saying. Don't go to that stuff. You love me. It says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Loving God is not something you can take a placard and put in your house and say, I have loved God this much. You can't do that. You cannot really do that with God. It's a continuous walk with God. If you look at the temptations that come with that, the lust of the flesh, that's a daily battle. It's daily you're going to go through that. The lust of the eyes, that's a daily battle. And the pride of life that comes not from the Father, that's every day. Every day it's there. You may not be aware, but it's playing in your life. You may think, I don't struggle with that stuff. Take some time and meditate. You'll see it in your life. Take some time and you'll see that this thing's running in your life. It says, no. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Simply put, to guard your heart, you have to love God. And go through everything else we've talked about. Is it something you can do overnight? No. But you can start with praying. You can start with praying. And if you start with praying, in between stuff, you can get it. And all of it. And I love God. And the rest will be taken care of. God bless you.